Let's begin today's meeting. As we begin, let's have a time of prayer. We do hope that our brothers and sisters can open up your heart, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us in a short prayer. We hope that more brothers and sisters can lead us in a word of prayer. Let's place the following meeting into the Lord's hands. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you with all our heart that brothers and sisters, in your name, we can gather together. This is such great grace. We cannot forget such grace. So we do pray that your Holy Spirit would here have full freedom to work. Do be with us in this gathering, and we do look towards your glorious face. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you that again you give us a new year to begin, and before you we can gain new grace, and we can also be gained by the Lord more. Lord, we pray that you would enlighten us more so that we may be well prepared to welcome your return. Lord, do reveal yourself to us, speak to us, use this gathering and opportunity, and speak to us so that nothing would be in vain. Do that work of life in us so that your will may be accomplished. Do prepare your church. Even though we are scattered abroad in different places, we do pray that you may gain your entire church. We thank you. And for this calling, may you accomplish your work. Do cleanse this gathering with your blood so that you may gain the leading of this gathering. And for your church, for your will, for your return, may your Holy Spirit fill this meeting. And as we share in the Spirit, as we gain revelation in the Spirit, and as we are led in the Spirit, may we learn the lessons we ought to learn so that every saint may be met by you and gained by you. May we be useful vessels in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. As we begin this new year, we do pray that you would once again reestablish and renew our will, our consecration. May we be gained by you so that when you return, we may be fully raptured. We do pray for brothers and sisters in all locations as we pursue after knowing you. Do open up the eyes of our hearts, especially for the young brothers and sisters, that our hearts may be full of thanksgiving, that their desire to pursue may also be gained by you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we do thank you and praise you. Again, we have another opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters in your presence. As we gather together, may our hearts be open towards you. May the Holy Spirit among you, among us, have freedom and attract us and enlighten us so that you may gain more of us. Lord, in these end days, before you return, we are in your hand. We pray that we would be useful vessels in your hands. Do a greater work of revelation and a greater work in our hearts and in our lives. We do reverently place the following time into your hands. Do speak to our hearts. May you accomplish this work in every one of us and in your church. We thank you. We give you all the worship and praise. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank and praise you. You want us to see that you want to do a new work. You are a God who does a new work. You open up a way in the desert and streams in the desert. You are the God who is able to resurrect the dead. And so may we be just like Abraham during the time of impossibilities, that he would still have hope. Lord, our hearts want to praise you. Lord, when we think of your love towards us and how you have redeemed us with your blood and your life upon the cross, Lord, we do want to cry out and give you worship and praise. You are such a God. You are entirely faithful, and you are the one who is doing all the work that is eternal. We thank you. We worship you. Lord, we who are saved by you are so blessed. We have a group of people who have such hope. We have a hope because you are the one who has resurrected Christ from the dead. You have risen us. And so you have given us this incorruptible life and this overcoming life. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship. While we still have life, Lord, and breath, we still have hope. The church has hope. We want to worship you. You still give us today. If there's, what else can we say? This is all your grace. We truly give ourselves entirely into your hands. You are the Almighty God. You are the one who is worthy of worship. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you because of your salvation. We can come before you just as we are. We do place ourselves before you. Today we pray that you would meet us. May your Spirit do your work in us so that we may taste and see you are good and be content. Take away the veil in front of our faces so that we may be those who gain the benefit of Jerusalem. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank and praise you because we have received great grace through this gathering. You have shown us the abundance of Christ once and again. So today, through your still small anointing voice, again, wake up all of us who are sleeping and those of us who are timid. May you gain all of us. Bless this meeting today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do pray that you would bless all those who gather in your name. Give us your Spirit and your presence. Help us so that the eyes of our hearts may look towards that which you desire for us to look towards. May we learn to be led by you, because we already have been in your heart, so that when we walk, no matter where we go, that we would follow you. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We do desire to see your face. We want to see our Lord today. May you fill all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts. We once again have an opportunity to gather in your presence. We do pray that you would separate this meeting unto holiness. And may you shine your light and bring your presence into every corner in these dark, chaotic end times. Lord, we need to be enlightened so that we may have true seeing. Lord, we pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open up the eyes of our hearts so that during this very blurry and chaotic time, that we would not lose our direction and our goal, that our feet may walk upon the paths that please you. We do place this gathering into your gracious hands. Lord, we know that man's flesh is utterly unable, but when your spirit is able to do its work inside of us, then we can touch reality. So we place this gathering into your hands. For this generation, Lord, have mercy on us. Prepare us. Lord, how we desire that in such a condition, that together with the saints who have loved you throughout the ages, that we would also follow this paths of the Lamb, that we would walk with you. Do be with us. We reverently place the following time into your gracious hand. We believe that that which you have given to us will far surpass all that we can imagine. We give you all the thanks. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. We thank the Lord that we can gather together in his presence. And just as before, in the order that we typically gather, first we're going to ask the saints in Minneapolis that they would lead us to memorize Ephesians chapter 3. I believe many brothers and sisters have already memorized it, so let's follow along with them as they lead us, and together let's memorize chapter 3. If you are older and it's difficult for you to memorize it, we just ask you to open it up while they are memorizing that we can follow along with them. And let's take a look at the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 3. For Ephesians chapter 3, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We thank the Lord. Thank you, brothers. Brothers and sisters, they've memorized it so clearly. We do want to encourage brothers and sisters that towards God's word, that we can become more familiar with it, that we could memorize his words into our hearts. This is a truly blessed thing. There are many brothers and sisters, because our memories are not as good, but let's also be familiar with God's word. Let's memorize it as best we can. Now, together with brothers and sisters, in this matter of following, obeying the teaching of the anointing, we want to have greater exhortation. I have mentioned this many times, that today in the church, this is a truth that needs to be recovered in the church, something for every brother and sister. Of course, it impacts the entire church. But today, if we cannot, beginning from ourselves, we cannot expect the condition of the entire body to have a change. And so in regards to following the teaching of the anointing, this is such great grace from God, as well as a most basic experience. I do believe that brothers and sisters in various locations, we have often neglected this. We've talked about some outward things as to what we need to do, but we have neglected the Holy Spirit's leading in our daily lives. And so it has caused this condition in the church where we have much knowledge and yet very little reality. This is a crisis. And so we pray that the Lord would show us grace, that while we have this little bit of time before his return, that every brother and sister, we would place our attention on this. John, in his latter years, when he wrote 1 John, he particularly emphasized this. So before the Lord today, we have this very, very important matter to pay attention to. If we have not followed the teaching of the anointing in reality, then you cannot have spiritual reality. We have said before, true spiritual life needs to be according to the teaching of the anointing, not according to what you do or to outward teaching. That's only outward. Today, if you follow the experience and the leading of the Spirit, that is true life experience. That is what you can truly gain. So brothers and sisters, if you think about all of your life up till now, how much have you gained in terms of spiritual reality? We desire for God's word to come to pass inside of us. We desire for God's word to be reality in us. But how do you do that? Is it according to your own strength? Is it according to your own will? According to all that, it's impossible. It's useless. And so John tells us, yes, the flesh is useless. According to that, according to God's words, it tells us that we cannot attain to any spiritual result. Only when you follow the leading of the Spirit, when you follow him in our daily lives, the amount that you follow him, then the amount of spiritual reality you will have in your life. It doesn't matter what we say outwardly, of course. The preaching of the word is important, but what we want is spiritual reality. And so in our individual lives, this is how it is. And it is the same for the entire church. And so in our service, we say that only when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to serve, then it can be called spiritual service. Otherwise, according to the zeal of your natural flesh, it'll be useless. Today, this is a condition of Christianity. Outwardly, there's great zeal. There's many teachings and ways and activities and many meetings. But brothers and sisters, if it is not according to the Spirit, it is not called spiritual service. Today, spiritual work is God's work. It is not man's work. What man counts may not be counted by God. If it counts by man, then it is useless effort. Paul tells us over and over that what he is afraid that he has run in vain. May we use these words to remind ourselves we have done much. However, it has no value before the Lord. You have run much, but there's no value in it. And so today we need the Lord to help us, to bring us to this very practical aspect. May the Lord in this point lead us so that in every brother and sister's spiritual life, may it become a true and practical experience. Because only when you are living beneath the teaching of the anointing, then you can sense that your relationship with the Lord is true. Otherwise, everything else is but head knowledge. Today, we feel that in all of Christianity, many people are good Christians, but God tells us he doesn't want us just to do. Of course, yes, many of us, we are those who also do a lot. We cannot condemn others. We ourselves are the same. It's not real in our own lives. In this way, brothers and sisters, in our spiritual lives and in our service before the Lord, there's not much value. And so today, I feel that this is a very important and basic truth that needs to be recovered because it's been so neglected. This is something every brother and sister needs to have. So this is why I've been overemphasizing, re-emphasizing, because it is so important. If in the foundation you have not set it well, then when we talk about other things, it's not practical. It's not substantial. I have said many times when I was young, the Lord has led me in these aspects all the way until today. When I think back, there's so many examples that, excuse me, that amaze me. And many brothers and sisters, when they follow the teaching of the anointing, they have many such experiences. We have heard many teachings. We're all able to preach. But practically in our daily lives, excuse me, we do not have much experience. These are things in which we truly need. These are not superstitious things. We need his grace. And so now I'm going to open up the time to brothers and sisters. If in these days you have had good experiences, do not withhold it. Between 3 to 5 minutes, please do not preach. We're not going to talk about how the Holy Spirit led us, but just a little bit, between 3 to 5 minutes, even if it's a little thing, how the Lord has led us. How has the Lord stopped you, perhaps, in something? May we mutually encourage one another. Now, in the past, when I've opened up this time, not too many people have shared, but I do hope that you won't refrain. Month after month, time has passed. I do believe that in your daily life, you must have had experiences. If there aren't, then it confirms that in the past days, our days pass by with great vanity. Perhaps you had a lot of emptiness. You gone to meetings, but in your practical experiences, you haven't gained much. We had some brothers and sisters last time said, "Brother son, you didn't open up the time we had prepared to share. I didn't give them time." So today, I'm going to ask some brothers and sisters among us to share first. Our brother Wei Gong and Sister Xiaozhen, they were anxious because they didn't get a chance to share. So we're going to ask them to share first, and then we're going to open up the time. Brothers and sisters, if you have, do not quench the moving of the Spirit. Do obey, submit to his leading. And of course, our time is limited. We cannot allow everybody to share, but in this amount of time now, grab a hold of the opportunity. If you don't have an opportunity this time, then in your local gathering, also find an opportunity to share. If you feel that your experience has been good, next time you can still grab a hold of the chance. We hope that everybody would zealously, fervently have mutual encouragement. So now I'm going to pass the time to Brother Wei Gong and his wife. Thank you, brother, for giving us this opportunity to share. Peace to you, brothers and sisters, and Happy New Year. I thank the Lord. The Lord has used this opportunity to have an interview for changing a new job. He has taught me through this to learn of the following, the submission to the teaching of the anointing. Last year, November 25th at 12:30, I had an interview for a new job. There was a high-powered manager who asked me, how are you going to face in your work these difficulties? Now, in my heart, I really wanted this job. So I used some big vocabulary and I did everything I could to describe in the past how some of my past experiences. Not only so, the people there, they all nodded their heads in admiration and acknowledgement, and they gave me full points. So after these questions, after this interview, I was in this attitude of admiring myself, as if I was in a great dream. And yes, I was in a great dream. And this was my daydream of how great it went. But then I clearly heard a voice saying to me, you have exaggerated the truth. At that time, I quickly woke from my dream. And in my heart, I felt great guilt. Yes, I am a sinner. And I realized, yes, this was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I had to say and apologize to the Lord and says, yes, I exaggerated. Lord, please forgive me. The Holy Spirit often inside of me, whether it's in my service, in my work, in my daily life, would lead me in a very real way. But my self-life is so big. And so oftentimes I drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord gave me this experience. And so I often have this prayer in my heart. Lord, have mercy on me. Daily support me. Just like the hymn we sing. Watch over me, so that I may daily walk on that narrow way. This is my experience. Thank you. Our sister shares. Mine is from many years ago. At that time when I was to be married, there was a sister. She has already gone to be with the Lord, the wife of Brother Sibo. And she's very good at making desserts. She says, you are to be married at home. Let's buy some things. You need to buy these things. You need to buy this KitchenAid mixer because it's very good. You need to buy a large one because a large one is useful. But this mixer is very expensive, so I didn't get a chance to buy it. Many years passed by and I didn't get a chance to buy it. But this mixer constantly was in my heart and I thought about it a lot. I wanted one. One time there was a great clearance, a discount, so I thought, okay, I could go buy it. After I paid, it wasn't the largest size. It was a smaller size, not the one that our sister previously told us about. When I went to pick up my product, I was at the front and the employee gave me the receipt or took my receipt to go pick up the item. And I realized that what the employee gave me was the large one, not the smaller one. And so in my heart, I immediately thought, oh, you made a mistake. It's not my mistake. But there's another voice that says, you need to thank the Lord. Look, you paid less and God gave you the bigger one. And I thought, yes, yes, I was going to take it and run. I wanted to leave that place quickly. But then when I got home, I dared not open up the mixer because it was not mine. But at the same time, I didn't want to take it back because I thought this was what the Lord had given to me. But the Lord pitied me because I thought about this. I wanted this for so many years. And so I just put it aside and I dared not touch it. And at Bible study Friday night, we were studying 2 John, and there it told us that the one who waits upon you, it is for the sake of the truth. And it reminded me, it woke me up that this was for the sake of truth. It's not that you waited for many years, now I give you the larger one. I need to go and send it back. And so as I was taking it back, I also brought with me three other items. Our indoor plants. There's these plastic, transparent, very, very thin plates that go underneath the plants. I, at that time, bought three, but because it was too thin, they scanned it only one time. But because there's three, and I thought, for the sake of love, for the sake of truth, because the Lord loves me, I need to go and also make that right. I still remember it was only 75 cents each, but when the cashier scanned it, there were three, she only scanned it once. And so there was a voice inside me that says, no worries, it's so small, don't worry about it. But because of this matter of the mixer, I also brought that there. And I went to the store to go and make things right because they didn't know exactly what was going on. So I showed the receipt to the employee and they said, oh, you got a better deal because you got the larger mixer. They said, okay, thank you. Thank you for bringing this back. As they were taking care of it, I felt so awkward because there were a lot of people behind me. But in my heart, I also felt great peace. I knew that my Heavenly Father was greatly pleased with this. And after the employee took care of this, I took the smaller one, smaller mixer that I had paid for. And then I had to explain this matter of the indoor plant thing. They said, it's only 75 cents, but I said, I need to take care of it. And they said, it's not much, but I said, I need to take care of this. So they said, okay, okay. And so I thank the Lord. These are all very practical daily life experiences. Are there any other brothers and sisters? Grab a hold of the opportunity. Brother Zongting in Portland, Oregon. with Brother Sun's encouragement. Of course, this is a past experience. It's not something very long ago, but recently. Of course, these 2 years were often at home, but for my work, I often have to drive to go to work. Oftentimes when I get on the road, there's a voice inside that tells me to go in a particular route. But oftentimes, the route that the Lord wants me to go is opposite of the road I need to go on, that I feel like I should go. And oftentimes it's very far. And so this is a difficult thing for me, because we often have meetings at work and arrangements. So in my heart, I have great struggle, but I thank the Lord. I better submit. Since the Lord says so, then I should. But within me, it's a constant struggle. Because if I'm not on time, then it's difficult. So the situation is very real to me. So when I leave, when the Lord tells me to go a particular route, in that process, I would often tell the Lord, "Lord, why?" And of course, this is also very practical. But no matter what, I do submit. And so gradually, there have been some changes. When the Lord tells me to go a particular way, I learn to be quiet and I follow. Though sometimes I feel a little forced, but I do learn to obey. And then gradually, when my emotions begin to become more quiet, and then I rest and I become more quiet, because all of the things that I've worried about have never happened. And then I realize there is a joy inside of me, until one day when I got on the road, I said, "Lord, if this is the way you want me to go, and this is what the road ahead of me tells me to do, which way should I go? After I prayed this, the Lord has never said anything to me. So I felt the Lord doesn't care too much which way I go. But up till that day, I realized the Lord wants me to learn that I need to obey Him. Because up till that day, the Lord never told me then which way to go. I can pick which route I want to take. But now when I look back, obeying and following the Lord is not a head knowledge, nor is it an easy thing. It is a struggle, though it doesn't feel very good. But in this process, through this, He showed me that the things I was worried about, all of those things never happened. So the Lord uses to teach me how to obey Him. And in this obedience, I have peace. And I can trust Him more. Thank you. Are there any other brothers and sisters? Do grab a hold of the time. Our Brother Wong in Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota. During Thanksgiving, I had an experience of inviting a gospel friend to hear the gospel. During the fall quarter of 2021, I'm at University of Minnesota as an instructor. So I was teaching a course. At the beginning of this course, I created this assignment that students would give a simple introduction of themselves. After I saw this assignment, I received it all. There was a Chinese student that the Lord placed into my heart. to share the gospel with him. However, because of this relationship between teacher and student, I didn't have a good opportunity to share the gospel with this student. And so it delayed until this last Thanksgiving meeting. And in my heart, I constantly had this moving that I needed to invite him to our Thanksgiving gospel meeting. But in my heart, I still had this thought. I was afraid that I would lose this relationship between instructor and student. Perhaps it's for him to like me, that in assignments that he would then want to have a higher assignment, then that is the reason why he would come. I was really afraid of that. So I delayed and delayed until Wednesday night prayer meeting. I looked it up. It was after Wednesday night prayer meeting that I really invited him for real, because the moving of the Holy Spirit was very clear. I needed to invite him. So at that time, I prayed to the Lord and said, I'm afraid that he's coming so that he wants a good grade, but I do pray that you would allow him to hear that which he needs to hear. And so that day, Wednesday night, it was prayer meeting, and then Friday was a gospel meeting. So on Wednesday night, I asked him to come, and very quickly he agreed. And he says, yes, he's always wanted to come to church. He's always wanted to come to a gathering, but nobody has really invited him. So when I saw in his heart that he really wanted to come, I knew that for sure that he was coming because he wanted to come, not because he wanted a good grade. And so in that gathering that day, our brother had shared about the matter of life and death. When he heard that, it really moved him as well, and he had a great response to it. So after the Thanksgiving gospel meeting, 2 weeks after, he was willing to receive the Lord. This is my sharing. Thank the Lord. Brother Kevin Wong is sharing now. I am previously at Portland, but I just moved to Houston. So I'm now a brother in Houston. Last year in Portland, in the Vancouver district, for our small prayer group, there was an experience that greatly influenced me. Among us, a brother and sister, good friends of ours, because of cancer, he received treatment, and the treatment was good. And he went out to play. He went on vacation, went to Hainan in China. And while they were there, he got sick. They thought that they could go to Beijing to receive treatment. So they sent an ambulance from Beijing all the way to Hainan and took them all the way back to Beijing for treatment. And then we later got the news that they went to Beijing. And so there was this call. There was this thought in me that I need to quickly call somebody to go speak to him so that the gospel could be preached to him and pray with him. It was very difficult for me at that time because they had just arrived in Beijing. They were very tired. Perhaps I should wait for a little bit. But we needed to ask somebody to share the gospel with our friend. So I brought this up with some brothers and sisters. At that time, and there was also an older sister of a sister that among us. Sorry, it was not Beijing, it was Nanjing, who also went to visit her sister. So naturally in prayer meeting, I just asked the sisters to quickly contact the older sister to go and visit this friend of ours. And very quickly, beyond my expectation of how quickly it happened, the communication between the sister in Nanjing to go visit that friend. And that day, they went to visit this gospel friend and shared the gospel with that person and led them in a prayer to accept the Lord Jesus. And that night, this gospel friend was taken by the Lord. And so it had this experience had a deep impact on me, that the teaching of the anointing in us, it has to do with life and death. It's a difference also between life and death. When the Holy Spirit moves us to do something, everyone knows, so I will end my sharing here. We still have a little bit of time. Brother Sun now speaks. This is a brother in Minnesota. 2 months ago, I went to Omaha for a business meeting. It was on a Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday night is generally when we have prayer meeting. The hotel I was at did not have free Wi-Fi. I had to pay for it. One is one that I could get on the internet. The other one is for a little more expensive so that I could use video. I could stream. Now, I could have used a hotspot on my business phone, cell phone. It was time for the meeting and I wanted to connect online. Now, my computer could connect. So I thought perhaps I need to go and buy the more expensive streaming connection. And I should use my own credit card, not the business one. And so at that time, the connection was very secure. I attended the meeting. The next day, as I was checking out, please put my purchase of the streaming on this card and please give me the receipt. And they told me, they've already taken away this cost. I don't need to pay for it. At that time, I didn't believe it. I said, I use my own credit card to purchase it. And they said, no, you don't need to. It was already given to me for free. And then I realized, this was what the Lord had done. I thank the Lord. I had great joy because a little bit of obedience where I didn't want to take advantage of the company, the Lord would bless me. This is my sharing. Are there any more? Hello, this is a sister, also in Minnesota. I do want to share with everybody. I am a dentist in a clinic here. And in a private clinic, oftentimes there are people who would at that time cancel or do not come. And so sometimes we would have a block of time that's open. And we also have walk-ins. And so we have a particular time in our clinic that's just for walk-ins. Especially, and at one time there was an emergency who wanted to come in quickly. So what I'd like to share, one time when I went to work, there was a patient that did not come. So I had a time that's open. So I thought, okay, I could use this 15 minutes time to do some work. And then I saw the walk-in time, they were not emergencies. And then to bring them in, I could not take care of it in 15 minutes. It would affect the patients afterwards. So I didn't really want to see the walk-ins. But then I realized there was a walk-in patient that had put into my schedule. Now, we've already told the secretary as to who needs to see who. I thought perhaps they should first ask me first before they accept these patients. So I ran up to the front desk, to the person who changed my schedule and said, "Why is this patient on my schedule?" And the receptionist was shocked. And after I said this, I had no peace inside of my heart. How can you speak to another person like that? When you speak to others, you cannot speak like that. But at that time, because I had been hard-pressed into that situation, I thought it was so shameful. Because I didn't hear the whole content, the whole circumstance. And then I just said, okay, I'll see that patient, but I hope this won't happen again. And so there was this voice inside of me that said I needed to go and apologize. Why were you so angry? And so in my heart, I had no peace. But then I felt it was so shameful because I would lose face. So I said to my boss, what should I do? I still had no peace inside of me. Because I was in the wrong. I could not just let it go. So I thanked the Lord. When I did go and apologize, I'm sorry. I do need to apologize to you. And the receptionist accepted it. And then I had peace to move on. When I think back, I realize I'm still learning. I do need to obey. And the Lord does want to protect me. I thank the Lord for such an experience. Let's have one last person. Brother Michael in Houston. Recently, right before Christmas, there was a friend, now is our brother. He had just come from mainland. He's a very interesting person. He is a principal of a school in China. On Facebook, he had shared some matters of Christianity, and so he was arrested. Previously, he also applied for a Hebrew class, and it costs a lot. And so he was arrested, and he was fined and as well as arrested, placed in jail for a while. And so during class, he was imprisoned recently. The Lord has shown him grace and brought him to America, and he now lives in a brother and sister's home. And sometimes I go and visit him. Now, work has been extremely busy, and my health hasn't been so good, and I am greatly fatigued. And that sister says, you better speak to him quickly then. So that day, according to the grace of the Lord, I went to visit him. And then we talked about the things of the Lord and of life. But the Lord had already prepared him. And so he was quickly saved. I thank the Lord. This is a very small thing. But even though I'm very, very tired, something impossible for me, under the leading of the Spirit, would take me, even though I felt a bit forced to go. But the Lord has grace. So now we have a brother. We thank the Lord for this. Brother Sun now speaks. We thank the Lord. We don't have to stop here. We know that many brothers and sisters in your heart, you have other things you want to share too. In your local gathering, please share your burden with brothers and sisters together. If this time you don't have an opportunity, then next time when we gather together. You can also prepare that which you want to share. Now, let me just put together what all our brothers and sisters have shared. You can see that when you follow the teaching of the anointing towards us, it is of great benefit towards others. It is a blessing. So as you hear the sharing of brothers and sisters, you realize that this is a very important matter. First off, if we follow the teaching of the anointing, we know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will lead us into truth. We know that after man fell, man is full of deceit. We are so full of deceit. Our words, our deeds. Why is it the Holy Spirit is leading us in these small things? Why? So that he can bring the truth of Christ into us, to take away all that is full of lies and deceit. When you follow the teaching of the anointing, it allows the life of a Christian to become more substantial, more real and true. Many brothers and sisters talked about this matter of their speech. I remember when I first came to serve the Lord, forgive me, because some brothers, they do preach among us. They're very good, but many times are quite exaggerated. In order to speak of a result, they would exaggerate the end result in a great way. Oftentimes, as preachers, this is a very easy mistake we make. Sometimes when we share, we exaggerate something greatly. In this matter, the Lord has rebuked me so many times. Sometimes when I share on the pulpit, I like to exaggerate to a point where I'm so happy and brothers and sisters are thrilled. But when I go home, the Lord will rebuke me. And the Lord says, what you spoke was not true. So many times the Lord had to correct me. Sometimes in the matter of numbers, it's the same way. So today, before the Lord, when we learn, I cannot say that when I preach today is 100% true. But I have learned many lessons, and I deeply know this one thing, that the Lord is dealing with us in this way is because he is true. He does not tolerate or does not like any deceit. He must correct us. This is not teaching. This is through the leading of the anointing. Only when you follow the teaching of the anointing, then it can allow a Christian's spiritual life to become more and more true and substantial. Same with our deeds. Many brothers and sisters had also shared, just like what I have gone through. Of course, I'm not going to spend time to talk about it. But first, we see that if a person follows the teaching of the anointing, then in our speech, you will be honest. Then in your actions, you will also be sincere and honest. This is a great privilege and blessing that the anointing gives us, because we ourselves cannot correct ourselves. He will correct us. So when you follow the anointing, it is very important. Additionally, the majority of brothers and sisters also mentioned that in the teaching of the anointing, there's another very important point. He teaches us to obey. Now we know after man fell, the fallen nature within us is also very powerful. This rebellion, this disobedience, it's not just among children, it's the same for us. We all live in rebellion, right? And so the Lord sometimes will test us whether or not we will obey. He will tell us to do something as if it's very small. I have said before, oftentimes, in our daily lives, it's not great matters. We always think that it's big things. But no, the Lord is doing all these things, testing us in small things. In small things, it will reveal in your character, are you rebellious or are you obedient? If you obey once, we know that in our daily life, our life will be changed. The obedient life is not from teaching and hearing preaching. It is from following the teaching of the anointing. You learn it. This is very important. Oftentimes, we obey people, we obey circumstances, but if you obey God, that is most important. This is what our brothers and sisters shared with us. I hope, brothers and sisters, you can share more about this. The third point. We know that as Christians, we know we need to help others. We need to bring blessings to others. God blesses us so that through us, others can also be blessed. Then you will be a good Christian. Oftentimes we realize we don't know how to help others. When I was young, when I followed the Lord, I had this difficulty. I didn't know how to help others. I see other people who know how to. I admire that. I don't know how. But if you follow the teaching of the anointing, you can help others. What does that mean? It means that you can truly become one who is able to bring blessing to others. This is God's will. This is what God spoke to Abraham. I want to bless you so that all peoples, all nations will be blessed through you. This is what the Lord wants to do in us. So as a Christian, you don't want to bring difficulties and problems to others. You want to bring blessings to others. Today in this world, we find that there are so many problems. As children of God, we need to bring God's blessings into this world. And so we see there are, in the years of great revival, because of the blessing of the children of God, the condition of the world was also blessed. So today, when we follow the teaching of the anointing, this is something that we can gain, a benefit we can gain. And so brothers and sisters can be vessels of which they bring blessing to others. Fourthly, we see that that which a Christian pursues after is the purity of our soul. Our soul needs to be purified. Your soul needs to be changed. How can your soul be changed? In this world, people follow behavioral changes or follow DIY books, but no, we follow the leading of the Spirit. Our brothers and sisters shared very well. They said, look, when you acknowledge your mistake, and you apologize, what does that say? It tells us that your soul is being purified. It's being changed. In the past, it is impossible for us. We would continually insist on ourselves. But now, because of a small thing, it's like you did something correct. But more importantly, brothers and sisters, your soul is being purified. And so today we need to understand God has given us a Holy Spirit to lead us through the anointing oil. It is so important. And we hope, brothers and sisters, it's not that you just hear some of the testimonies of other people, but through our own daily lives that we would learn this lesson. So today in the church, this is a lost truth, a very basic truth. Very few people talk about this, but this is so very important. In the teaching of the anointing, it begins from the individual life. Now, because of time, We cannot allow other brothers and sisters. If you have such an experience, do prepare it well. I say it again. In your various gatherings, you can share more. Encourage brothers and sisters. Next time, if you have an opportunity, do also share with brothers and sisters here. This is good. Now, in the following time, I'd like to share with brothers and sisters on the book of Ephesians. Last time, we have given an overall sharing on the book of Colossians, but this time, I would like to talk about the mystery of God in the book of Ephesians. And we have said before, in the New Testament, Colossians and Ephesians, these two books particularly speak about the mystery of God, even though other books do talk about it, but these two particularly focus on the mystery of God. The Apostle Paul in Colossians and in Ephesians, he talks about how he speaks of the mystery. So many Christians today are unclear. Think about, Paul talks about behavior or methods or knowledge or understanding. But Paul says, no, I speak of the mystery. I have shared about this many times. So today, in the book of Ephesians, regarding this, the verses that speak of the mystery, let's read it together. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Let's read it together. Chapter 1, verse 9. Or let's start from verse 8. Which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. The mystery of his will. His will is a mystery. Now let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 3 to 6. Now let's start from verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Here there is a phrase, brothers and sisters, do pay attention in verse 3. The revelation made known to me the mystery of the gospel. Now we have said in Colossians that the mystery of God is Christ. And here is speaking of the mystery of the gospel. And later on, I'll go into an explanation. Now let's go to verse 9. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. And let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Let's actually start from verse 31 of chapter 4, or chapter 5, sorry, 31, 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Marriage is a great mystery. Now let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 19, and 6:19, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Let's also read verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In the book of Ephesians, these are the verses that speak of the mystery. Particularly at the end, Paul is very clearly telling us that when he speaks in the entire book of Ephesians, he's talking about the mystery of the gospel. Now, generally, all brothers and sisters know that Ephesians talks about the church. So generally, all of our eyes are fixed upon the church. So many people say in Ephesians, it's speaking about the administration of the church, the building up of the church, the rules of the church, the teachings of the church. Many of us, we analyze this, but Paul tells us that what he's speaking of is the mystery of the gospel. The church is a mystery. What is the mystery of the gospel? In Ephesians, we see very clearly, and we can understand that to build up the church, to become the body of Christ, this is a great mystery. Ephesians, yes, it does indeed speak of the body. And so here, through the entire book of Ephesians, let's use an overall perspective to take a look. And if the Lord allows, then we can enter into the context, into the actual words to pull out the important spiritual principles. Now, I have said, brothers and sisters, we're not here to interpret scripture. I'm not here to interpret the book of Ephesians. If so, then we need to spend very much time to go into great detail. It will take a long time to finish it. There is a very abundant content, but I do want to pull out the important main points regarding the mystery, to pull these out and to share upon that with brothers and sisters. So I hope that brothers and sisters, you can have an overall picture regarding the details and the content. I may not have such an opportunity or time, but you yourself can meditate on it and pursue. But generally speaking, let me give you a large picture. And so here, regarding the mystery of the gospel, we're talking about the mystery of the body of Christ. This has something to do with us. In church history, there are many things that we can understand, particularly when we talk about this matter of the body. Many people who study scriptures have a hard time as well. And it's difficult for them to speak of it clearly. But now Paul, after he has received revelation, after he has received of this hidden mystery, we see that now God wants to establish the church as the body of Christ. Now, just on the word surface level, we have no problems with that. Any brother or sister is able to say that the church is the body of Christ. For many, many years, we have talked about this often. We are no strangers to this. But what exactly is the body? We need to speak of it very clearly. It is very difficult, particularly in living it out. It is a great difficulty. How can we express the body of Christ? This is very difficult. And so that is why God has used some things in the Old Testament, like the tabernacle, like which building materials, what it's supposed to look at. We look at the measurements. All these things we can understand. We have no problems with the tabernacle. It's easy for us to understand. Now, when we talk about the temple, we also have no problems with that. When Solomon built the temple, it is a very, very large construction in this building. On top, in this construction, God has also given this illustration, this picture to David. And so Solomon constructed it according to the pattern. This is something you can see and touch. Everyone can understand that. But today, when we come to the New Testament time, Paul all of a sudden had this thought and this revelation that the church is the body of Christ. Now, for many Christians, we know it, but we do not understand this. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what is the body of Christ? Can you speak of it clearly? I remember I have shared with you before that there used to be an Indian brother. When he prayed, he would always talk about the body of Christ, the body of Christ. So one time I asked him, "Brother, can you tell me what is the body of Christ?" And as I asked him, he was stunned. He opened his eyes really wide and he looked at me for a long time. He said, "The church is the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ." And then he couldn't say anymore. Brothers and sisters, it's not our brother's difficulty. It's all of our mutual difficulty, right? Can you speak of this clearly? When we talk about the church is an organization, you can understand that. Or is a corporate body, we can understand that. But the church is the body of Christ? Oh, it's difficult to understand. So brothers and sisters, this is a mystery. But today, the majority of Christians, in the condition of our fallen nature, when we look at the church, we just see this building, the structures, we see stained glass, we see a steeple, we see that there's an organization, a program. We think that this is a church. No, brothers and sisters. Paul says no. Paul says that the church is the body of Christ to us. This is a great difficulty. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand one thing. Towards our knowledge of these mysteries, only in your spirit can you see it. After the fall of man, Satan has a very terrible work. That is, he brings in sin so that man's spirit dies. Man's spirit now withers to the point where you only have a little feeling in your conscience. When the condition of your spirit withers up and dies, it means it has no more function. You have no more function. Once you have no more function, then your understanding towards the mysteries of God is gone. It's the same for all of the world. In understanding God, everybody thinks, oh, this is something very superstitious or mystical or beyond or very abstract. Many Christians, it's the same for us today. Some names, some vocabulary words, you can't use it. If you use it, then you find, oh, it's too abstract, too mystical, not practical enough. We want to talk about things you can see and feel and touch. But Paul's not that way for him. It's like he's talking about very many practical things. But Paul says, no, no, no. What I talk about is the mystery. What I'm talking about is not these outward things. We talked about it last time when we read Colossians. We're talking about marital relationships, parental relationships between slaves and bosses, employees today. We think it's just a methodology or rules of how we have relationships between people. But Paul says, no, I'm speaking of the mystery. Brothers and sisters, today we thank the Lord he has saved us so that in our spirit, now we are awake. In being awake, it's like we are being woken up from a dream. So in the Old Testament, the poet says, as soon as we received grace, it's like we have been a dreamer. Among many Christians, It's like we are serving God, we are worshiping God, but it's like you're in a dream. Do you feel like you're in a dream? Brothers and sisters, think about it clearly. There's a lot of things that don't seem very real or practical. Of course, today we're very strong. We emphasize God. We want to worship God. We want to serve God. But Paul is not like that. Paul, he truly understood these things before God because he deeply knew that when man's spiritual condition, when it died, within us, a very large function had been lost. This very large function is the function of the Spirit. And so today, if you are not in the Spirit, your understanding towards the mysteries of God, you cannot understand it at all. But do you know, it's very interesting as Christians, when we speak of how the church is the body of Christ, even when we speak it and we don't understand it and we cannot do and live it out clearly, but to one who is saved, we know it's there. Isn't that amazing? It's just the same way in our relationship with God. We can't touch him and see him, but we know he is here. Isn't that amazing? So brothers and sisters, after man fell, we have the function of our soul. And so towards the physical world, our understanding is great. Today in the physical world, we have discovered and understood many principles. And so in the world of education, we have so many textbooks, so many people can explain this physical world. But apart from the physical world, there's another realm. That realm, we are completely of no knowledge of it. It tells us that we have the function of the soul, but no function of the spirit. And so that is why in these 2,000 years of church history, the church on earth is constantly deviating because it is not man's spirit that is functioning. It is man's soul. That is the condition of Christianity today. We are beneath the power of the soul. Even in worship, it's the same way. Some worship is so, there's a lot of, it's very stimulating. They have drums, they have loud music, everybody's so excited. You raise your hands and they have loud prayers. Everybody's yelling and jumping up and down and crying out. Brothers and sisters, this causes people to feel it's very substantial, but these are all functions of the soul. You are living in the soul. You haven't really touched that which is true, the true worship in the spirit. And so brothers and sisters, we get so anxious. How are brothers and sisters so cold? Let's find some methods. And so people will now begin to use their own wisdom, their own past experiences, some methods of the world. And we bring it into the church to try to stimulate, cause excitement. And then it becomes the deceit, the false outward worship of the soul. And the Lord tells us that you need to worship in spirit and in truth, right? Yes. We now, when we understand how to use the soul, we don't know how to use our spirit. After man fell, after the spirit of man died, in regards to the mystery of God, we have no understanding of it. Today, the Lord is doing this work of recovery in us. So why, in the front, in the beginning, do I emphasize that we are talking about following the teaching of the anointing? The more you follow, the more intimate you are, the more common it becomes for you, then the condition of your spirit will gradually also increase. When the condition of your spirit increases, then naturally your understanding of the mystery of God will also increase. This is very true and very real. When I was young and the Lord has led me all the way until today, there are many things I still do not know, but the Lord has brought us to this realm, and I understand what Paul says is true. So today, brothers and sisters, if we are still living in this common condition of the outward activities and situations, I'm not saying that these things are wrong, brothers and sisters. If you have the body, you will have a life, right? I have said before, there was a brother. He had pushed this a little too far. all the worship, the service, and all these things, he says all of these things don't count as anything. It's just things that are, that we can toss. But then what type of garlic will not have a skin? He says, it's just garlic skin, things that you could just throw away. But he's like, what things can you throw away? It's like, no, you can't throw all these outward things away. Yes, we, brothers and sisters, our outward church gathering. Yes, it may seem like it's just chicken feathers and garlic skin and just outward things that you can toss away. But if you only pay attention to these outward things, you haven't touched the true inward reality, then the value of all those outward things, they're not much. May the Lord have mercy on us. What do we need? We need the condition of our spirit to be alive, to be more clear. So later on, as we enter into Ephesians chapter 1, we will be able to understand. When Paul talks about this, he understands that this is only through prayer. You cannot speak clearly enough of this. And so he says, I'm just going to pray before the Lord for you. May the Lord Jesus and the glorious Father give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may truly know him. Open up the eyes of your heart and the eyes of your heart when it is open. Then you will truly know him. Then you will know Christ. Then you will know what is a body of Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1, the very last verse says that the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Brothers and sisters, today we need to be saved. If we are not saved, we condemn others. And we say that others are living in religious activities. It is very possible that we ourselves are in dead religious activities. Of course, we don't use those same words. What we want is reality. And so we need to desperately pray. May the Lord's Spirit do a work in our spirit. So that is why I say over and over again, John, in his latter years, he has brought the Christian life experience to the most basic level so that every Christian, every single Christian can do it, which is follow the teaching of the anointing. It needs to be real in us. So if today we are not in the spirit, when I talk about how Christ is the body of Christ, it sounds also very abstract, very mystical. It cannot be practical and lived out. So in the first century, when Apostle Paul, when he received this revelation and saw that the church is the body of Christ, to Paul, when he talked about this, perhaps he felt that this was difficult. His eyes were open. He saw it, but he could only use the simplest of terms of what God had entrusted to him to tell brothers and sisters and say, throughout all the generations, this is a hidden mystery. Now in the Bible, Ephesians talks about the body. The greatest revelation, yes, is in Ephesians regarding Christ's body, the meaning of it. It is a more complete revelation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul talked about the function of the body of Christ, that we are members of one another, some are the eyes, some are the lips, some are the feet. Paul is using the human body to describe this, that we are members of the body. And every member of the body has a function. How we mutually live with one another. And he talks about the body. And then in Romans chapter 12, he again mentions the body, that there is but one body. And here he tells us the practical living out of the body. So from these three books, we can generally come to understand what is the condition of the body. Amazingly, in the first century, other apostles didn't really talk about this. Only Paul talks about this. In this aspect, in church history, about 2,000 some years, the children of God have the most difficulty understanding this. So why is it that God's body on earth has become a religious organization, has become an outward thing? It's very difficult. You know, in church history, there have been many jokes. Even one that's contemporary. There is this preacher. He says, a minister says, we need to go through body life now. So he calls all the brothers and sisters and says, you are to be the hand. You are to be the feet. You are to be the mouth. And in such a way, he assigned everybody. It says, together, we are to live the body life, brothers and sisters. So we come to see that, yes, these are people who do study the word, and yet they have great confusion. Today, I can only tell brothers and sisters that a true church is a mystery. Yes, according to man's natural mind, it is very difficult to understand. And so we need to have spiritual perspective. Now, recently, I have spoken of this with a group of brothers and sisters. If it were not through spiritual perspective, when we look at the church, it is in two separate realms. With a simple illustration, let me explain. What God wants in a church is not just a group, a pile of seeds. What does that mean? Because you are a seed. Today, when I see brothers and sisters, we are all individuals. You are all an individual by yourself. You are a seed. From Minneapolis, there's a pile of seeds over there, pile of grains, kernels of wheat. There's a group over there. And so when we gather together, we see a group of people. What we see are separate locations. But what God wants is not a group, a pile of grain of wheat. What he wants is a bread. With spiritual eyesight, when you look at the church, it's not a pile. It's not a group. It is an entire bread. Do you understand? When we come to the table meeting, why do we have a bread there? That bread is the body of Christ, right? Yes, we all understand that logically. But after many years, we just think it's just a bread, and then we just break apart the bread, and then everybody's going to eat it, and we're going to drink, and then today, table meeting, communion has ended. After many years, it's like in our sense, we're also numb to it and we're unclear. Brothers and sisters, you need to once again open up your spiritual eyesight and see what is it that God wants. He wants that piece of bread, that entire piece, not a pile of flour, not a pile of grain. The Lord tells us over and over again that we are in one body. In the past, brothers and sisters, when they explain the meaning of the table meeting, they say, look, this is one bread, and then you break it. And after everybody eats it, it goes inside every brothers and sisters, where is the bread? And everybody says, oh, it's inside of us. This bread, you cannot see it now. Previously, you could see it, and now you can't. When I was young, and the brothers taught us in this way, and there's nothing wrong with that. It tells us a meaning of the body, that it tells us the intimate relationship of one another in his body. But do you see that one bread? We ask the Lord that he would give us spiritual eyesight. When Paul saw the church, he wasn't seeing individuals one by one. He was seeing the body. Only with spiritual eyesight can you see that this is the body. This is a very basic explanation and basic matter. And so in church history, for those who have truly explained that the body is the church, there have not been many good books about it. Have you found any books that talk about this, that the church is the body of Christ? Not too many have had this spiritual perspective. Now, among us, brothers and sisters, when we talk about the church is the body of Christ, the person who's talked about it the most is Brother Watchman Nee. When you look at all of his writings, there was a period of time when he was talking about this body. However, he's just talking about in terms of how we are to meet. Now, brothers and sisters, after all these years, have you gone to any particular church and say, oh, the body is here? No, you can't see it. You still see a group of brothers and sisters. And so later, everyone said, okay, we want the church to grow well. We want many, many pieces and kernels of grains of wheat to come together. We still haven't seen the body yet. Do you think the Lord is satisfied? We might be, but the Lord isn't satisfied with that. And so Paul, in the first century, he has used such a phrase to describe the church. Paul did not learn this from any place that he's on purpose trying to use this. When we're reading Paul's letters, I see what's really amazing is that in Romans, and then in 1 Corinthians, we see that the terminology that Paul uses, they're a little bit different. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, in 1 Corinthians 12, yes, it seems like he's talking about the body, but do pay attention that this phrase, Paul, now he begins to see a little more. But yet, he's not completely sure yet. It's a little bit different. He's like, as if it were a body. So many people, when they read the Bible, they say that the body is just a parable or just a symbol. But brothers and sisters, when Paul comes to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, he says the church, which is his body. It's not as if it were his body. No, it is which is his body. Now, Paul, when he comes into Rome's prison, now he is completely sure and confident saying that the church is his body. So many brothers in church history tell us that this body today, you cannot see it. It is future. You cannot see it. It is not now. But our brothers also tell us that the body is now, as well as in the future to come. So today we say again that as we gather, the greatest meaning is for the body of Christ. We are the testimony for Christ. There is this book that talks about that. Brothers and sisters, yes, indeed. For our eyes, because we're so blurry, we can't see this clearly. It is difficult for us to explain this well. So that is why after so many years, we talk about the body of Christ, the body of Christ. After here and there, we can't really see where the body is. Why? Because our eyes, we can't see it. Some people say, oh, it's to come. One day you will see it. But no, brothers and sisters, Paul says it is now. Brother Nee, when he talked about this, he previously used another explanation to try to explain it. A Western brother to try to explain it. J.B. Stoney, he used Brother Stoney's illustration, J.B. Stoney. This is a servant of God that the Lord had used. He gave this small illustration, which is quite interesting. He said, for example, there's this egg. This small chick that came out of the egg, the feathers are not fully grown, but we say it is a chick. It is a chicken. As it grows up and matures and it has a lot of feathers, you still call it a chicken. This is a very interesting illustration. Today, when you see the church on earth, it is an immature stage. It is like a small chick that had just hatched. A lot of things are incomplete. Yes, we do, in the same way, acknowledge there's so many aspects of our life that's the same way. We have not been able to fully express all that which God wants, and yet at the same time, we are still a chick. You cannot call it something else. It is still a chicken. It is just immature. We are in the process of change, of transformation. And so today, the church on earth, in order to bear testimony for the body of Christ, today, in time, presently, it is the same. It is not absolute. We cannot call any gathering is the absolute standard. In church history, there have been many foolish gatherings that says we are the standard. Where is your standard today? Today, have you truly expressed the full stature of the measure of the body of Christ? No, you are only a part. Brother T. Austin Sparks, he also said, from his understanding of the book of Ephesians, if you want to know Christ, then you can know the church. He says that the church, whether in reality it has that amount of Christ, it has to do with the stature and the measure of Christ in it. The church is according to the meaning of Christ. You need to measure the church according to the measure of Christ. How much Christ you have, then that is how much body you have. How much of the life of Christ do we have today? We have a corporate life. We have a body life. Now, in this life, in the church, if it is abundant, then you will find that the meaning of the body is also very abundant. I hope you will not use this word here as something that is very abstract. Why is it that when we talk about brothers and sisters, we're pursuing after life? Why are we worshiping in life? Why are we serving in life? Why are we singing in life? Why are we preaching in life? Why are we praying in life? Why are we praising in life? Everything needs to be in life, because only through this life can we express and live out the meaning of the body of Christ and express it. And so today, we cannot use an outward methodology to try to explain it, to live out and to attain to the body of Christ. You cannot. Many people are striving and trying to allow the church to be done properly. It needs to be on the rail, on the right tracks. We need to have these right methods and these teachings. So we say again, only to have, when we have spiritual perspective and eyesight, can we see the meaning of Christ and the meaning of the church. Today, we need to know. With this eyesight, then you can also discern. In Christianity, we have so many groups. In some denominations, a part of it, we have the body of Christ because they are saved. And yet they cannot fully express in a very clear way. And so some brothers have said very well, if you read Revelations chapter 23, the Lord is looking for his body on earth. The Lord on earth is looking for his body. First, Revelations 22, he is looking for this. This is not... We see that only in man's soul we have, there's different methods and different activities of man. No, the church is not through these outward situations and lived and acted out. Now, as parents, when you are born as an entire body, right? Now, some brothers tell us that the body, the church, is an organism. It is not an organization. There's a great difference. It's an organism. It is born. Now, today, we cannot use human methods to try to establish it. You can make a statue, a robot, but it is something that has no life. The church is a living organism. This is also another important matter. Now, Paul here, in the book of Ephesians, also shows us this. Even though you say that the church is the body, you ask, where is the body? In spiritual sense, spiritual eyesight tells us that the body is there. Now, Paul, he's not completely talking about the mystical or the abstract format of the church in Ephesians and Colossians and Romans. He does talk also about the outward. There are several conditions. First, it is also expressed through gifts. God has given many different gifts inside the church. You see that some gifts is to be the mouthpiece. The mouthpiece, that gift is given there. There is a person there who is a mouth. There is a person there who functions as a hand. We see a hand there. Somebody has a gift of being the feet. You see very clearly the gift is there. The gift is expressed. And so when the Lord was on earth, he told us, the one who had the 1,000 talents, he did not function. He took that one talent, he wrapped it up, and he hid it. He buried it. If you do not function, you cannot express that part of the body. We see our hand. Why is my hand constantly moving? Why am I moving it? It's because I'm using it. My hand can pick up things, can do a lot. It can be used. If my member is being used, then yes, I know it's my hand. Today in the church, you need to function. If you have a function, the more you function, then the more the body is expressed. In the church, you need to give brothers and sisters an opportunity because you don't know. You give them that opportunity and you realize, oh, they really have the ability to speak. They can be a mouthpiece. Somebody can be the eyes. They see things very clearly. He's very good at paying attention to many things. Among us, there's some brothers. In the past, they were in a contemporary Christian church, and I realized that brother is very good at listening to the message. When I say he's good at listening to a message, he's able to discern whether or not this message is good or not. A few times after I preached, he came to me and he says, "Your content allowed me to be greatly surprised." Now he has spiritual ears. In the church, don't think that hearing preaching, some people don't know how to hear preaching. What you hear things that are not true. Preaching, you hear the eloquence, the wisdom, the jokes of man. Brothers and sisters, if you can truly hear God's word preaching, it's different. So one time, I shared with the brothers and sisters, I heard a young person preach. Everybody thought he was so eloquent. He preached so well. But when I heard it within me, I was greatly moved. Why? I said, our brother is talking about, he's preaching about walking on this way. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God's work has a way. When he's talking about the way, yes, he's talking about that way. So when you listen to preaching, it's also a function. You need to also function in that way. Today, we listen to a bunch of random things carelessly. On the internet, there's so many preachings. You listen, what do you like to listen to? You like to listen to those who are very eloquent, who are good at speaking. And then some preaching, you listen to it and then you fall asleep. Don't listen to it. Then perhaps you don't know how to listen. Today in the church, it is very important to be a good ear. Today, a person comes and preaches. In that preaching, how much benefit, how much support and help is that to the church? If you meet a group of people who know how to listen to preach, then they have discernment. This function needs to be trained. This is so important. So today, according to the gifts, all of this can be manifested and expressed. Secondly, Paul talks about service. In service, when you function, it can also be, the body can also be expressed. Somebody there is very good at taking care of things. He can be a good hand. He's very good at taking care of brothers and sisters, good at supplying the need. It's not just the mouthpiece that's most important. All the functions need to be expressed because we bear the testimony of the body. That is why in the church, we do not have the hierarchy of the church. We have the laity, we have the common people and the hierarchy. No, it is because our understanding of the body is so lacking. So through the strength of the soul, we have changed the body of Christ into an organization. And so now the church has fallen to such a point where very few people are there serving. And they are the ones who are called the clergy. They are the holy men, and we are the laity. We are the common people. This is a complete mistake. This is not what God wants. Brothers and sisters, we need his mercy upon us. We cannot also place the service upon a select few. Everyone needs to function. In this way, we have the reality of the body. And so, brothers and sisters, we don't have that much more time. I need to go on very simply. This is another very important point. Paul, in his letter, also says, and later on, we're going to enter in and talk about it regarding the Spirit. But generally, the principle is that it is through our daily living. Why does Paul talk about our daily living? It is through our mutual help and encouragement and love and care for one another that we express the body. So you can't just go to a building and you say, oh, the body of Christ is here. No, you cannot have such a dream. The body of Christ today is a mystery, but it is a spiritual reality. Today, we need to understand this. Paul, when he was on earth, indeed, it was difficult for him when he wrote these letters. When I read these today, I feel that he truly believed and trusted in God, that he said it in this way. He could not explain it in any other way, because this is something that you see in the spirit. It is not something that you can speak clearly of with language. The one who speaks clearly, perhaps it may not be the truth. That is why we need to pray. May the Lord open up the eyes of our heart and of our spirit. Today, we don't have any more time. And so in my overall overview, there's another very large and important point. Perhaps we need to leave it for next time. Now, let me give you this question then. Perhaps you can meditate on it. Bring it before the Lord. Be quiet before him. Pray. May the Holy Spirit show you. What kind of church is an expression of the body. This is a very practical question. Now, because of time, this is just my overall sharing, and I must conclude here. So I hope, brothers and sisters, I hope that when I share about the mystery in such a way, I hope that it won't confuse you. I hope you won't feel that, oh goodness, the church is so abstract, it is so difficult. No, the church is something on earth. But as I share about this with you, I hope you won't feel that now that the meeting is over, that everything is done now. Bring this back. Think about it. Meditate on it. Pursue after it. Look to the Lord. May the Lord open up our eyes so that we may truly see that which the Apostle Paul sees. So today we need to conclude here. Our time has come. We do need to end. And so now let me give you the time for our next gathering in February. It will be on the 19th. Please remember February 19th. It's also a Saturday. We ask brothers and sisters to memorize Ephesians chapter 4. We'll continue to ask the saints in Minneapolis to lead us in our memory. If you can't memorize the whole thing, just read it until you're very familiar. 8 times, 10 times. Read it through many, many times. In these end times, we ask the Lord to open up the eyes of our heart, because we have come to a very pivotal and critical time. This has to do with God's will and his heart, as well as his testimony on earth. In God's work, our opportunity is right before us. May he show us mercy and grace so that we can fervently pursue after the Lord together well. May the Lord also bless everyone. We'll need to conclude here, but before we end, let's have a time of prayer. If the Holy Spirit moves you, do not quench his work, his moving. We ask several brothers and sisters to lead us in a short concluding prayer. Lord, we thank you. You still give us an opportunity that brothers and sisters in all locations can gather together. Lord, we do ask that you would give us ears that can truly hear your word, so that from our spirit we may come to know you, because you are about to return. Lord, while we are on earth, we know that the condition of the church, we have much confusion. For those of us gathered here through the internet, you allow us to have such fellowship. Lord, we desperately ask that you would open up our eyes so that while we still have time, that we would walk upon the right way, so that we would walk upon it, so that we may be a group of people who satisfy your heart. We desire and we are hungry so that we would follow you closely, so that you would gain more of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you because your thoughts towards us is so deep. Not only do you save us just from the surface, but Lord, you want our inward eyes to be open. Lord, we place ourselves into your hands for your keeping. May our inner eyes, when it is open, Lord, we pray there's so much self still in our soul. Lord, we pray that you may deal with all these things within our soul in this new year. Lord, do truly allow us to learn lessons in our spirit. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would help us so that from our depths we may understand your will. Save every one of us as you place us together, that we may follow your will. We need to have spiritual eyesight so that our horizons may be broadened. We need to understand how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, how we are to live our daily lives. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Just like in the Old Testament, how you led the Israelites into your promised land. Lord, before us, you also show us that in Christ, we are able to see a little bit of the abundance of Christ. Lord, do help us, so that we may have a heart that is willing. May we have faith and a clear conscience. Lead us so that we may enter into your complete will. May your Spirit, and according to your great strength, may you accomplish all that surpasses our own understanding. There is nothing impossible with you, so that our inner man may be broadened and established. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. Today in this life, may we serve your purpose, and so that your will may be glorified. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Our meeting will need to end here. Our time has come. The condition of the pandemic is more and more severe here in this country, and so may the Lord give you peace and bless the church in all locations. Lord willing, we will gather again in February. Okay, goodbye, everyone.